The last two mornings that I've preached, we've looked at each time a woman of great faith. There was the Syrophoenician woman who wanted the Lord to heal her daughter, felt intensely the need, pled with him, and he answered her not a word. And God put all kinds of obstacles before her to, as it were, hold her off, and she would not be discouraged. She knew her only hope was Jesus, and she worked through every obstacle and called upon him, and the Lord heard her and commended her faith. She was a woman of great faith. We looked at another woman of great faith, the one that had an issue of blood for how many years was it? Many years. And she was healed. And rather than let her slink away, the Lord made her give testimony to what God had done. And she's shown to us as an example of great faith. Well, we have looked at two women then of great faith. This morning we're going to look at a great woman of faith. We've looked at two women that had great faith. And today we're looking at a great woman of faith. Because God's given us much more in detail about Hannah's life, and we see a wonderful woman, some wonderful things to observe, and reasons to enter with her in the joy that she had in the Lord. I'm assuming that you know about Hannah. Even the children in Sunday school and in Good News Club and in such activities, we all know about Hannah. We know that she's the one that prayed beside the tabernacle that she would be given a son, that this curse of barrenness would be broken and she'd be given a child. And we remember that Eli looked at her and thought that she was drunk. Her lips were moving, though she had no sound. And he rebuked her for drinking. And we know that she wasn't drinking. Her heart was broken over this desire for a child, and she was pleading before the Lord. And Eli said, "May the Lord give you what you prayed for." But I don't know if Eli's heart was in it. I don't know whether he fully appreciated the anguish of this woman, but she wasn't put off. And she went home trusting the Lord. And we know that God gave her that child. And then we know, even from the story that we tell the children, that she brings him back as a little child and offers him to Eli to serve the Lord all his days. And we see that that was in answer to the vow that she made, that if God would give her a child, she would dedicate him to the Lord for all his life. And that's the story that all of us know. Well, we're looking a little more at that story and seeing a few more details. But we begin a little after the story that we've just mentioned, and we are in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, and we're really looking today at verses 1 and 2. So here is after Hannah has returned with a 3-year-old bull, offered the sacrifice, then offered her son unto the care of Samuel, that he might all his days be raised in service to God. She breaks forth in wonderful song of praise. And the verses we're looking at, verses 1 and 2, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God.'" We want to look at those words. First of all, looking at the background for the words, then what the words say, what kind of woman they produced, and what is this to say to us? Four simple things we want to look at. Background of the words, what the words say, what kind of woman they show Hannah to be, and what this all says to us. Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we consider this passage. Let's pray. Great God, we do come to you with praise and thanks. We have read the words of Hannah, and our hearts have rejoiced, and we have lifted up our hearts to worship you as the great and sovereign and mighty and powerful and gracious God that she saw you to be. And we see you to be that. And we realize that all of these things are given to us personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to worship him today. We come to learn of him. And we pray that you'll take the scriptures and lift up Jesus Christ so that our hearts may look to him and our souls might be filled. You've said that when he is lifted, Jesus, you said yourself, when I am lifted up, I will draw men and women, boys and girls to myself. And we pray that that will happen today. Would you work in the hearts of every one of us to draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ? We thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Would you give us grace, even in this hour? In Jesus' name, amen. It's valuable to look at the background of this woman, this Hannah, that the Lord focuses upon. And to remember one thing at the beginning, that she's a woman. And we all know that in the scriptures, the focus upon the work of God was continually upon men. Continually that man might lead. Very often, the woman is not valued or appreciated nearly as much as the Lord appreciated women. We do see the women often had a place of shrinking back. And certainly one thing about Hannah, she wouldn't have been taught to read. She was from a Jewish culture, and she was taught to care for the house and to care for her husband. But she wasn't taught to read or to study the Word of God. Now, she was obviously a girl with a heart that wanted to study God, wanted to understand God. And so we see in Hannah somebody who knew tremendous things from the Scriptures, but not because she could read them. Indeed, boys were taught to read to a certain extent, but who had books? This is long, long before people had their own books. And what people had was what was copied out by hand. And certainly the boys in the synagogue school would have learned something about that, but they didn't have a Bible. And basically they might be able to take notes, but this was a girl. And a girl with a heart for God. What does a girl with a heart for God do in a place where she has no special advantages? She listens. She receives. She thinks about. She meditates upon the Word of God. And although unable to read or write, she had ears to hear, and we see a woman that devoured the Word of God and heard it every time she could and memorized it and spoke of it in wonderful ways. She was a genuine Christian. We'll look a little more at this, but it's obvious she is one who looked ahead to the Savior and found salvation in Him. She had a personal relationship with Christ. Well, how do we know that? Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." Her heart rejoiced in the Lord. Throughout history, there have always been those whose hearts rejoiced in the Lord. But in every case, it's because God in His mercy revealed Himself to them and helped them to rejoice. It has always been that God has drawn men and women, boys and girls to Himself. Indeed, in the Old Testament, there wasn't the case as is spoken of in the New Covenant, where from the least to the greatest, all know Him. All have the law written on the heart. No, there were times in the Old Testament where people were of Israel, but not of true Israel. But Hannah was of true Israel. She is one to look who looked to the Savior that God would provide and rejoiced to see Him. She can say, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted up." Does that speak of the defense that the bull shows up when he raises his horn? And God is that for me. Is there a sense that God has defended me? God has undertaken for me? God in His power has been exercised on behalf of me? She says, "My mouth boasts over my enemies." She knows that she's been delivered. Do you know that you've been delivered? Does that ever strike you as wonderful that you have been delivered? Aren't there wonderful songs like "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It," and you know that you're delivered? She knew that she was delivered. She didn't know the details about Jesus. She didn't know His name would be Jesus. She didn't know that He'd be born of a virgin and that He'd grow up just like a real human being. She knew the Messiah was coming, though she didn't know the details, you know. But she put her faith in that one that was coming, and she could say that, "My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." She was a woman who knew the deliverance of God. Is that much different from what you know as a Christian? Now, I speak to those who've been born again by the Spirit of God. Have your eyes been opened to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ? Has your heart been changed? Do you have a heart that longs to serve Jesus? Have those things been done in you? Isn't what Hannah's saying exactly what you feel? This is a poem she's speaking. It's even written in poetry in the text. It's a poem. Isn't it what you feel? Can't you say with Hannah, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted up. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." Isn't it wonderful how the people of God in every age have had the same heart? a heart of love for Jesus Christ that will one day know the fulfillment of standing in his presence, where everyone, Old Testament and New, throughout the whole history of the world, will stand a great multitude that no man can number, thousands upon thousands, praising God and exalting him with the same heart. Because God gives us that heart. He takes the stony heart out of the flesh and gives us a heart of flesh. He softens that hard heart to hear and to believe the gospel. Has he done that for you? What I'm saying is assuming I'm talking to those who've received that. Have you? Have you come to know the Lord Jesus? Have you learned to love him? Can you say in any way that what Hannah is saying is what you feel? She said it better than you could say it, but that's your sentiments. You could say when she says it, my sentiments exactly. Are they yours today? Bless God that you're a Christian. Bless God that God has opened your eyes. Bless God that he's given you a heart to love these things. You know you're joining with a sister here who did not have the advantages you have, but who had a heart to hear, to understand, and to receive the word of God. She was eager to hear God's word. If you follow the cross references in this passage, and it may be in the Bible it was in a different form than they are here, so it may be that there are more than I had counted in the version that I looked at, but in terms of cross references, references that Hannah made to God's truth, she had at least one reference to the book of Leviticus here, and she had six references to the book of Deuteronomy here in this passage. She had four times that she quoted Job. Now I speak of those because those were the ones that were written before she was here on the scene. And so those books were declared before she lived, and she praises God with those passages. Where did they come from? Are they underlined in her Bible? She didn't have a Bible. They're underlined in her heart. You have verses that are underlined in your heart. What a treasure they are. And Hannah had verses underlined in her heart. And when she spoke praises of God, she brought them into her prayers. Is she a sister of yours? Have you come to know the same God she knew? Isn't it a joy? Isn't it a pleasure? She had those references to the Bible, but you know, in the list that I looked at, there are 28 other references to the Bible. And they're to books that were written after she lived. Isn't that amazing? 28 other references that connect her with other passages in the Bible that came out of her mouth, but they were after she lived. Were they quoting her? Were they going back to this passage? Was it this passage that struck the heart of the inspired writer so the words they spoke were echoing Hannah's? What an amazing woman this was. That there's all of these references that connect with what she declared when she said this wonderful poem of praise. What a wonderful woman. Do you see why I call her a great woman of God? A great woman of faith? I'm not just going to say her faith is great, because we see here not an immediate deliverance that gives her wonderful expression of faith, but this is a life lived for Jesus. She is a great woman of faith, and she's learned throughout her life, growing up and listening, perhaps her brothers going over their lessons and memorizing what they had to do for Sabbath school, and she is listening and she is memorizing and she's learning it along with her brothers and as they repeat it, because her heart was yearning for the things of God. What a beautiful picture. What a great woman of faith. Well, we see that with Hannah. And she considered this child that she was going to give to God as a gift from God in answer to her prayers. That's how she viewed this child. Not, this is my child, and I'm going to hold on to him. This is a child that God has given in answer to my prayer. My prayer included a vow to give him back to God, and to the glory of God, I give him back to God. You can be sure that in all the time she had this little one, she taught him everything she could about the scriptures. Can little kids come to the Lord Jesus? You know they can. And what do you desire from the very time you hold them in your arms? What are you doing? You're blessing them. You're asking God to bless them. You're praying that they'll put their trust in Jesus as a little child. How can you hold a child and not pray that that child will seek the Lord while he's young? And she prayed for him, and she taught him what she knew, and she knew a lot. And she helped this little boy So at the right time, she brought him to offer him before God. I think it's interesting that she brought along a 3-year-old bull. Now, I can't say this for sure, and there is discussion about how that's to be translated. The King James Version would say brought 3 bulls. But almost all the translations see why it ought to be brought 1 3-year-old bull. And I think it's particularly interesting, although I can't say for sure. Was this a calf that was born the day her son was born? And if she had an eye to that calf all those years, knowing that that's the one I'm going to take with my son when I turn him over to God, she would know she needed a sacrifice when she came. Would she have been caring for that calf all that time? Would she have had that in her mind? Or did she just go out to all the bulls and choose the 3-year-old one? Well, it may be that she just chose a 3-year-old one, but I think it's significant that that 3-year-old bull is probably the age that Samuel was when he's brought to be given before God. And here she has a 3-year-old bull which she offers in a sacrifice as she sacrifices her child. Not to die, but to live for God. What a beautiful picture. We with gospel eyes, don't you see wonderful pictures there? We have so much more light than she had. Don't you see light that shines upon her actions and her deeds and show the gospel? She who trusted and looked from afar displayed the gospel in wonderful ways. I'd like to say something else about Samuel. You think of this little boy turned over to this old man. Now, wait a minute. This was the temple of the time, the tabernacle. There was a whole company of priests. There were loads of kids. There were a lot of loving mothers who would care for this poor little orphan and be with him. Take it on. If you were one with 3 kids of your own and you were raising them to be priests, to be servants of God, and here's this little kid comes in to be adopted, wouldn't you embrace him? Wouldn't you want to fight over whether you get to care for this little boy? Wouldn't it be a joy for you to be able to teach this little boy? And when you heard the details of why he's here, wouldn't you as a mother have said, come on and eat with us? And go to school with my son. And this little boy wasn't left alone. It wasn't that he sat there twiddling his thumbs with this old man around him all the time. This is a culture and he's a priest. Eli's a priest, which means there are priests in training all around. There's loads of kids. And of course, he's got kids to play with and to go to school with and to learn from. And God intended this boy to have the education of a priest, though he was not born of the tribe of Levi. Well, God did a remarkable thing then. He raised this child from a woman that was not of the tribe of Levi for him to be a priest and be trained there, adopted into the priesthood. If you were a mother with children there, you'd adopt him with your heart and be glad to be the one that cared for him. This little boy was cared for. I'm sure he was visited as often as he could be by his mother. I'm sure he didn't forget. I'm sure he was taught. But this little boy is not helpless and unhappy when he's turned over there. God has a purpose for this little boy. And God brings him into a loving context where the word of God is exalted and children are taught from very young to believe and trust in the Lord. What joy that brings to Hannah to know my little boy is hearing the word of God every single day. My little boy will be praising God for the rest of his life. My little boy will be used of God in a powerful way. I know it. God gave him to me as a special gift. He will be used. What comfort and encouragement to the mother, even in the loss of that little one. And so certainly one can see that this is not a bad situation, it's a wonderful situation. And God was pleased. We have later just a mention of the fact that Hannah was given 5 more children. God gave her 2 daughters and 3 more sons. So God honored Hannah. Hannah, who was barren, gave up the child unto the Lord according to the vow, and God, in his mercy, had opened her womb. So God rewarded and blessed her, and it's a wonderful thing. Well, that's the background. My, we've taken the time to give the background of the words that we're looking at. But it's a wonderful background. And it's why you can't talk about her simply as a woman of great faith. You have to talk about her as a great woman of faith. And it's our joy to remember what God did in people so long ago So long before they had all the advantages that we have, there were women, men and women, boys and girls raised up to praise and magnify God. And what a privilege for this little boy. I'm sure he heard from his mother. It's what, like being put away, put to a boarding school. That doesn't sound very nice to us, but it was a place where the Word of God was taught, and there, he was included in the family of God. And I'm sure she comforted herself, and God did reward her for what she had done. She'd taught little Samuel what she'd learned. She'd brought the sacrifice for him, and she had offered him up to God, to good care in a place where Jesus Christ is exalted by prophecy. Jesus Christ not even mentioned in terms they didn't know his name, but the Messiah everywhere in the offerings, in the ceremonies, in the circumstances, Jesus Christ displayed everywhere. What a blessing for her child. Well, there's Hannah. This is the background. This is Hannah. Well, we want to look at the words that Hannah declared. We've looked a little bit at the first verse. Let's look at the first verse and then the second. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." We find in this passage love for God, confidence in him, pride in him, delight in him. She's proud of her God. The scripture says in another place, "Don't boast, let not the rich man boast in his riches, and let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not this powerful man boast in his power, but let him who boasts boast in this, that they're a child of God." They boast in the God, in God who has loved them. And she's one who boasts in God who has loved her. She boasts, she delights in God, has a pride in God. She delights in him. She sees her salvation in him. What a wonderful picture of a Christian. So long before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing you feel about Jesus. Don't you feel that? My heart rejoices in Jesus. In Jesus, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in Jesus' deliverance. Isn't it exactly what you feel? Isn't it the very picture of a Christian's heart? The same thing you feel about Jesus. If you're a new covenant believer, a love for Jesus Christ has been shed abroad in your heart. Remember that passage in Jeremiah where it says, "A new covenant will I make with you. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll work my spirit in you. I'll write my law upon your heart. And from the least to the greatest, all will know me." It's a wonderful declaration of what he does when a person is born again by the Spirit. From the least to the greatest, all know him. It isn't that there are people within the church that don't know Jesus. Everyone does, because a person is born again into the kingdom of God. They're a babe in Christ, and from the very beginning have a heart that praises and honors him. Wonderful picture that we have. And if you have love for the Lord Jesus in your heart this morning, God by his Spirit has opened your eyes to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a privilege it is to gather with God's people, all of whom love Jesus Christ. The conditions of the new covenant was he was going to give life to everyone from the least to the greatest, so they'd no longer need to tell everyone his brother, "Know the Lord." "All will know me," he says, "from the least to the greatest." Well, she was one who loved him. She was one of that great company. She was a new covenant believer under the old covenant, because all who have loved Jesus have been that. The law of God written on their hearts, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Savior in their hearts, looking forward 1,000 years as she was to Christ, or backward 2,000 years as we are to Christ, but those that went before and those that follow after all cry, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." She delighted that God was hers. But Hannah's thoughts went beyond that. And that's one thing I think is wonderful. Look what she says in verse 2. "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." You see, those things are not speaking of what God was to her personally, bringing her to Christ, but what he is in himself. And isn't that what happened to you when you came to Christ? At the beginning, you were very much concerned with what he was doing in your life, and very much concerned with how wonderful he was to you and how much he loved you. And there are wonderful songs that help you remember the love of Jesus for you personally. It's a wonderful part of salvation, but there's something that's even an extension of the wonder, and that is when we stand back, forget about ourselves, and behold him. And that's where she was. Having known the reality of the experience for herself, she stood back and looked at him, and he was the joy of her heart. You have done that, and it's wonderful. It's not simply, what did Jesus mean to you? What did you get from your relationship with him? It's what he is in himself that is wonderful to declare. And so, having spoken about her own relationship with him and her joy personally in him, she glorifies and praises God for who he is. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is exalted, lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There was no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. There just seems to be an opening out. Now, it's wonderful to be delighted in what Jesus has done for you. I may be calling some to faith today that the first thing that will hit you is what he's done for you. You're a sinner, and you've been under the judgment of God and under the condemnation of God. And you never really realized that. You thought you were doing pretty well. You're certainly better than most people. But God, by his mercy, has begun to show you that you're not better than anyone. You're as bad as any. Because sin is sin, and it's cut you off from God, and it's put you under God's judgment. And maybe you've seen that. And then you find out that God has mercy upon sinners, that he will forgive you. He will take away. Have you seen that? Are there any that need to see that? You are a sinner. You need the. You deserve the judgment of God. You're under his condemnation. You need forgiveness. But there is forgiveness in Jesus. He will receive you. And if you come to that even today and embrace him, your heart will rejoice over what Jesus has done for you. And your desire will be to tell others what Jesus has done for you. And your delight will be that Jesus has done this for you. He's your Savior. But as you grow in grace and experience that wonder and get used to the idea that you're a child of God, you stop looking at you. And you start looking at him. And you're astonished. And your heart is filled. And you praise and magnify him. Not just for what he did for you, but for what he is in himself. And I'd suggest that Hannah's words show that kind of experience. She starts off remembering and rejoicing with what God's done for her. And then she says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. And that very statement, no rock, no solid foundation upon which I can depend, like our God. Even in that, she remembers, not just like my God, it's wonderful, no rock like our God. You still have you in the picture, but it's you as part of the church of God. And he's our God. And there's a preciousness to that. First saved, he's my God. But it's wonderful as you grow. He is our God. This great God is our God. Well, I would point that to your own heart and then say, God's done that in you. It's wonderful. God did that in Hannah, and we see what her words declare. She declares that God is unique, no other God like him. He is holy, no other holiness but his. He is a rock, dependable, solid, to be built upon. He's the God of his people. That's what her words say. She is rejoicing. And you're doing that today. That's why you've come. You've come to rejoice in the salvation that God's given you, to hear the word of God, to be involved with what God's revealed for his people, to enter into joy with him, and to turn the attention away from all that to him, and then praise God that he is the God of his people. That's what you've come for today. That's why you're here. I suppose you could stay at home and rejoice in all the personal things that God's done for you, but there's something in you that wanted to be with God's people. You wanted to be worshiping with them today because they matter to you, because they're all children of God. Well, Hannah had that, and it's wonderful to see what she saw. Well, what kind of person did it make her to be? made her to be an honest woman. Have you ever made a vow to God? What happens when you want the thing you vowed? You say you vowed to deny something or not to have something. And what happens when you want to have it? Isn't there something within you that could easily rationalize and say, well, I was a little unwise, I was young, and I was foolish then, and God understands that, and that was foolish to say that. And so you can find a way out of your vow. Not if you're honest. You vowed, pay your vow. Well, it was a stupid vow. I was just a kid. You vowed, pay your vow. She was honest. She'd made a vow, and she paid it honestly before God. Did she find what joy she could in it and rationalize in so many ways, in terms of not rationalizing exactly, but showing the reasons why it was right for her to do this? Did she overcome the heart that wouldn't have wanted to turn him over? Would she want to give him up? But she was an honest woman. This is the deal. And she looked upon it. This is the deal. And she presented him. She's an honest woman. Her faith made her an honest woman, even when it hurt. And you can be sure it hurt. I put it in the best light I possibly could, and I think she could say that. But she was turning over her little boy. Can't have been easy. But it was honest to do that. Wasn't that the terms? Didn't she say that to God? Then she will follow what God has said. Wonderful how the gospel can make you an honest person. Has it made you an honest person? Well, God's given us the gospel to make us an honest person. Made her a dedicated woman. This woman's mind was dedicated to the task, training this little boy all that she could, telling him I really think there was that bull that she had her eye on, that she was going to take him, and in all of that, bringing it together. I don't know how much she could explain to how that would apply to Samuel, but here doing everything she can at the time when she can to give all of her heart to that little one, like you guys do, like you that are able to be home with your children and teaching them all the time, pouring your heart into them. If there are other circumstances that keep that from happening, and we're in a terrible society that gives a lot of problems, but when you can get them, you give them what you can. And here Hannah, giving that little boy everything she could. Did he understand it all? Doesn't matter. Give it to him. Have him memorize the words. Does he understand the words? It doesn't matter. Say the words. Were there things he learned as a little boy from a mother who knew I only got him for until he's weaned? And he's weaned later than kids are weaned in our day, but there's a lot of reasons for that, and some of them may be good. He's weaned late, but there he's weaned. Until he's weaned, I'm going to give him everything I can, not just mother's milk, everything I can. She was a dedicated woman, dedicated to do what she could to teach this little boy. She was a committed woman, committed to serve God. I think one of the little flashes of how wonderful she was, a lot of things have said good things about Hannah, but when she tells her husband that she's not going up to the temple with him. Well, that means that it was her practice to do that. Women didn't have to go. The law commands 3 times a day that the men go up to worship God. It didn't command the women. But she went. Isn't that a mark that she wanted to be near where God was worshiped and wanted to go along with her husband? We know she didn't have to. She could have had excuses. But the mere fact that she tells him, I'm not going this year, implies that she did go up till then. And she's decided not to. And the fact that her husband had respect for her spiritual judgment, I think is shown in the fact he said, you do what you think is best. I don't think that's a matter of that she's going to have her way no matter what. No, I think this man respects that woman's spiritual judgment. And she says, do what you think is best. He says to her, do what you think is best. Because he knows what a giant of the faith she is. He's aware he's got a woman better than he is. He's got a woman more spiritual than he is. He recognizes that, he values that, and maintaining the role as the husband, he's got the kind of respect that can say, you do, in this matter, do as you think best. And it was his son too. In this matter, you do what you think is best. I think that shows a tremendous respect for this woman. She was a committed woman. She had the respect of her husband and of all that knew her. And she was certainly a self-sacrificing woman. She was certainly a trusting woman, putting this little boy in the hands of others and trusting God to keep him. She was a woman of faith. You see why I want to call her a great woman of faith and not just a woman of great faith? One can have great faith in a particular circumstance, at a particular time, where there's a tremendous need. It's a triumph. But what about the kind of faith that made this woman who she was? This was a different kind of faith, a greater faith than the one that believes Jesus in my time of need for the deliverance that I need. There's a greater faith. And you to whom I've called to come to faith in Christ, come to him for yourself. You need forgiveness. You need what he can give. But may God begin a work in you that will make you a woman of faith, a man of faith, who is far beyond the mere sense of what I have received from God, and lives in the sense of how wonderful and marvelous God is. God has something better for you than what he's giving you right today. He's giving you salvation. Got something better. All that goes with it. And it's wonderful. Well, this woman was a woman of faith. And of course, in verse 21 it is that he has how God rewarded her. Look over to verse 21 in the passage. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel... 21, a little longer than that. Just a minute. Then they would go home to verse 21. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. So God honored her. God blessed her. Had opened her womb and gave her more children. What a wonderful picture that is. This is the kind of woman we have. And it's a woman well worth noting, admiring. Well, what does it say to us? And I'll only be very brief in going down a list of what it says to us. What kind of person we are is dependent on what we think of God. What kind of person we are is dependent on what we think of God. We rejoice in a personal relationship with a God that we love. We listen to the Word of God preached and taught. We engage with God personally. We learn what he's like. We pour out our hearts to him. We honor our vows. We interpret all of life in the light of his word. We trust him with our present. We trust him for our future. We put our faith and trust in him. That's our response to the things we've looked at. Is it your response? Have these things renewed in you a trust in Hannah's God? Well, then they've had their effect. God intends to do something with his word when it goes forth to accomplish his purpose. His purpose today was to establish you in Christ and give you a desire to live for him. Did he do that? And is he doing that? And do you desire to be a great person of God? Such greatness is not limited to women, although in actual fact, the best Christians are usually the women. But do you have to be? Do you have to be less than a great person of God? Or will God make you a great man of God, a great woman of God? Will God do that for you? Well, if he does it, it'd be along the lines of Hannah. And may God do it in all of our hearts, along the lines of Hannah. May we be that kind of person. We must love him, live for him, know the blessing of the Christian life. That's the blessing that she knew, the blessing of the Christian life. It's what I've called any two who are not yet a Christian, the Christian life, the life that Hannah showed. It begins with a recognition of your need for Jesus and your coming to him personally and getting personal salvation and being delighted in that. And then as you grow, turn your eyes off yourself and behold him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for this great woman of faith. We know it's you that made her that, Lord. We have not sought to exalt her in our thinking today. We've looked at her, but we haven't exalted her. She was what you did in her by your Holy Spirit. She followed a heart that you had planted in her. Lord, you've planted that same heart in many of us. We haven't gotten as far as she has in it, but we pray you'll help us, Lord. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. May more and more we live for him. Oh, Lord, work in us. Help us, we pray. Help us, men and women alike, boys and girls alike, to come to the Lord Jesus, to receive him, and to live for him. Bless us, we pray. Cause your face to shine upon us to this end. Bless us, we pray. We thank you for the love with which you've loved us, and we pray you'll bless your word to our hearts, bringing every one of us close to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. We'd like to close with hymn 378. And when it says, "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face," 378, we mean the scriptures. This is where we see him face to face. It is by faith. There's a day coming when we will behold him face to face in another sense. But here we behold him displayed for us in the scriptures. 378, "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face." May we worship God as we sing this together. 378.